Good morning. Compliments of the season. Amen. So good to be in the land of the living today. So let's start our service today by reading Isaiah 65. We are starting with scripture to set the tone of what we are going to talk about. Isaiah 65, verses 1 to 2. And this is what the scripture says. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you. Thank you that, oh God, you decided to reveal yourself unto us. We are so, so grateful. We are so, so thankful. We want to pray, oh God, this morning, that indeed you may remove the veil from our eyes, that we may see you, that we may see you, Lord, and run to you. Father, I commit the preaching of your word into your very hands. Holy Spirit, you are the greatest teacher. We pray that you will speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are just from celebrating Christmas. That is the birth of Jesus Christ. A few days ago, my family and I enjoyed a bountiful meal and thanked God for his great love towards us as a family. Let me also even invite you to thank God with me, because just on Friday night, my children, two of my daughters, I've only got two daughters, with their spouses and their children were involved in an accident on their way to Livingston. Thank God that all of them came out safe because of the mercies of the Lord. Now, his love for us all, you know, God is love. The whole of humanity, he wants us to know him. So I've entitled my message, Knowing God Through Christ. Knowing God Through Christ. To the surprise of some, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ comes from the Greek word, Christos, meaning anointed one or chosen one. This is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word mashach, or Messiah. Jesus is the Lord's human name given to Mary by the angel Gabriel. If you check Luke 1 verse 31, it says, you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. So that was his human name. Christ is his title, signifying Jesus was sent from God to be a king, a deliverer. Jesus Christ means Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the anointed one. Our sermon title, as I've already said, is Knowing God Through Christ. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one. We are going to discuss three things and we'll be done. We are going to look at knowing God through the creation. Then we are going to look at knowing God through Christ. Lastly, thirdly, we'll look at the profound evidence of knowing God. Because when you know God through Christ, there's evidence. If there is no evidence, then there's a problem. So let's start knowing God through his creation. Let's look at Romans 1, verses 20 to 21. Romans 1, 20 to 21. The Bible reads, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky." I'm reading using the NLT. "Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God, or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused." Knowing God through his creation. And here, scripture says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky." You have seen the earth and the sky. So what can be known about God is plain to us all because it has been shown to us. Creation itself declares the glory of God. Look at your neighbor and look at yourself. The psalmist, Psalm 139:14, amplified, says, "I will give thanks and praise to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Creation itself demands a creator. Surely, nature tells us, and it evidences the existence of a creator. Apart from human beings, creation reveals God. For example, how many of us have been to Livingstone and have seen the Victoria Falls? You've been there. It is truly a wonder of the natural world. It is a wonder. Romans 1:20 says, "We have no excuse for not knowing God, because creation reveals God." Creation itself demands a creator. It's only someone described in Psalm 14, verse 1, who denies the existence of God. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." A fool has said in his heart. And I remember being there at one time. Just shortly before I got saved, a couple of years ago, I wanted a reason to be sinning without feeling guilty. Yeah, you've never been there. Foolishly, when someone asked me if I believed in God, and I remember answering, thinking I was giving a very wise answer, I said, "You know, God was man's creation, so that we can live."
at peace. But God had mercy on me and made me know him. Nevertheless. You know, even in our everyday living, there are several people we've known through others. Just reflect on the people that you know. You've known them through others. At the office, there's a young lady. You know, whenever I've got an issue, I'm like, I need to see a doctor. I can give you the number of this one. There was one time I wanted something at an NRC. Was it an NRC? Something to do with a birth certificate for one of my granddaughters. She's always at hand. I know someone. Hey. And after I've been given that number, now it's up to me to know what to do. So let's go to knowing God through Christ. We know God only because he has revealed himself to us. That's the only reason why we know him. He came to humanity in a variety of ways over the years, according to Hebrews. Let's read Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 2. The Bible reads, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So that scripture that we read at the beginning, it was God speaking to the Israelites, but also to us. Through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. We cannot and do not truly have the knowledge of God apart from Christ. We cannot and do not truly have the knowledge of God apart from Christ. This recognition is critical if we are to know God. Jesus said in John 14, verses 6 to 7, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I am the way, not a way, as if there are other ways. There is only one way. And he said, I'm the way and the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The starting point to knowing God through Christ is Romans 10, verses 8 to 10. That's the starting point. And listen to what it says. But what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This scripture speaks of the nearness of God's saving word, emphasizing the belief in the heart. God raised Jesus. And confession with the mouth, Jesus is Lord, leads to righteousness and salvation, making faith a public declaration of internal conviction. In fact, without the light of Christ, you cannot perceive God through creation. You can't. You know, on the day that I acknowledged Christ as my Lord and Savior, what started, the starting point was, creation looked different. The horizon looked so beautiful. And the birds sang so beautifully that I feared that maybe I'm losing it. Little did I know that God was raising me from the dead, from the spiritual death, and I was able to see creation, and through creation be able to perceive that God is a reality. But just know that God has a way of revealing himself to everyone differently. You don't have to have my experience. Paul had his own experience. Cornelius had his own experience. Each one of us who know God through Christ, the time when we had an encounter with Christ, we have our own experience. However, it's not the experience that matters, but the knowledge of God that starts by confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. However, you cannot claim to know God through Christ and remain the same. So this takes us to the profound evidence of knowing God. There has to be evidence that you know God. The disciples were so worried. They asked the Lord, they said, how are we going to be knowing those who be believing you? And he said, you know them by the fruit that they bear. There has to be evidence that you've come to know Christ. You've come to know God through Christ. If there is no fruit, then something is wrong. Definitely, something is wrong. There is other evidence that you find according to Scripture. Daniel 11, verse 32. This is what is written there. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But now watch the next part. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people that know their God, they shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Meaning, those with a deep personal relationship with God gain the strength to accomplish the extraordinary things, overcoming challenges through divine power, not their own. It's a divine promise of divine empowerment for believers who actively know through intimacy with his word and presence, enabling them to perform great deeds for his glory. But you know that also Jesus said the same. John 14, verses 11 to 12. This is what he said. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. This means believers will perform similar works, healing, teaching, just as Jesus did. How many of us are believers in here? How many of us have known Christ? How many of us have known God through Christ? How are your works? How are your works? Is there evidence? Is there evidence that you know God through Christ? Because he said, those who believe in me, the things I do, they will do. And greater works than these shall they do. And even more impactful works, not necessarily bigger physical miracles, but through the wider global reach of the Holy Spirit and the church's worldwide mission, fulfilling God's plan on a broader scale than Jesus' earthly ministry. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Greater works. Jesus started the ministry, but through us who believe, there are supposed to be greater works, fulfilling Jesus' earthly ministry. The Holy Spirit that enables believers to do greater works is the same one. It's the same one that was on Jesus. Acts 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in us if we believe. But then there has to be evidence. There has to be evidence that the Holy Spirit is residing in us. There has to be evidence that we know God. Because the Bible says, those that know their God shall be strong. And they are going to do exploits. Are there exploits that are happening in your life? Or are we having a form of godliness but denying its power? Or are we lukewarm? Neither hot nor cold. For us, it's hallelujah. As long as on Sunday we come and we sing. And yet the world is rushing into hell, and you are looking and you are claiming you know God. Those who know their God shall do exploits and greater works. Greater works. Jesus said, than this shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. Knowing God through Christ guarantees greater works. Answered prayer for believers. These works are done by the power of the Holy Spirit.
these works are done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are also able to forgive others and go through life touching the lives of others. You are also able to forgive because you've been forgiven. Forgiving is a great work as well. If you keep on saying, "Me, I can't forgive," I wonder if you've experienced Christ. Because those that have been forgiven, they forgive. And if your life remains the same, I remember in our early days, we used to say, where Christ has passed, things never remain the same. But how come you have the same passions? How come you have the same desires? And you claim you know God through Christ. There has to be evidence. There has to be a fruit to show for it. There has to be a fruit to show for it. Where Christ has passed, things never remain the same. So, yes, there is knowing God through creation, but that's not enough. And what I've said is that, in fact, without Christ illuminating your eyes, you can't even notice that creation is declaring God. It's only when the light comes in you that you are able to see and say, God is real. God is real. You see, as I was looking at this message, you know what I was praying? God, have mercy. God, have mercy on me. Because the evidence is lacking. Unless if we call God a liar, God is not man that he should lie. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. And I keep asking, how are the works? What kind of works are being manifest through our lives? I want us to spend some time praying. I want us to spend some time praying. That is for those who know God, or those who claim they know God through Christ. The other group, I will come to that later. So, really, let's just spend some time. Just where you are, let's pray. Let's seek the face of God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you've made yourself known unto us. You've made yourself known unto us. And many of us here, even as those who lifted hands, that they know you. We are here, oh God, asking for your forgiveness. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for our lukewarmness. Forgive us, oh God, for we appear to be alive, and yet our very works denies that. We want to pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you forgive us, that you cleanse us, that, oh God, we pray that you revive us, that you ignite a fire within our hearts, that we are going to pant after you, that, oh God, will be evidence to the people, to the world, that you are alive, that you are God, that you are a living Jehovah. Father God, here we are, surrendering ourselves to you. I surrender myself to you, oh God, because you are not man that you would lie. You've said greater works. You've said there has to be fruit. We pray for the production of that fruit in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've made yourself to be known. Thank you, oh God, that it's your own decision. Not that you needed us, because it's us who need you. But you've made yourself to be known, and that is love. We thank you, our Father. We pray that as we go in this coming year, in the new year, Father, that we go in it differently, that we not remain the same, but that the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ will be evident in our lives. We pray that, Lord, now you may part us with your blessings. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.